Now, it's the season of Thanksgiving, right? And so we want to be, as we continue our pivot series, I want to end it by talking about being thankful and being unfinished. Now, let's start with a thankful part first. Our RCC has done amazing things in 2023. It's really been just supernatural in a lot of ways. We have a food and friends ministry that's right here every single Thursday night. It's feeding those who are needy in our community, but also those who just want to fellowship with each other. And we've had already this year over 2,200 meals served in our food and friends on Thursday night. That's pretty amazing. Give God the praise for that. How about it? First Coast Women's Services is about saving the lives unborn, and hundreds of churches are involved in this, and they do a baby bottle drive. If you remember, last year we beat the record in 2022. Well, we beat our own record this year. We brought in over $22,000 from First Coast Women's Services. Give God the praise for that. That's amazing. I mean, generosity of this church is phenomenal. We did a backpack drive, and they asked us, hey, would RCC be willing to donate 100? We said, how about 500? And they looked at us like we were crazy. And we are crazy. And so we asked, you know, hey, RCC, can you bring 500 backpacks fully stocked with school supplies for kids in need in our community? Guess what RCC did this year? We brought in 664 backpacks fully supplied for kids in need in our community. We minister to hundreds of kids through our junior high ministry. That basically is a Bible study that happens on campus in these local junior highs. We expanded this year to Oak Leaf. Hopefully, we'll keep going west, and we'll get in California before you know it. Okay, so we just continue to expand that amazing ministry. And these kids, a lot of them don't go to church. But because of volunteers in this church that are willing to share the Bible and fellowship with them, many of them are coming. Over hundreds of kids are coming to that. We started a marriage ministry this year. We're excited about that, how God is going to change our church and even our community through this ministry that we just launched. And the entire school year, we help and equip and just encourage moms through mom's ministry. It's full to the brim with about 100 moms involved in this ministry. And then we have Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving blessing bags that we just did. And I want to share with you, we provided for over 130 families this Thanksgiving. 130 families, more than we've ever done before. 130 families. And I want you to hear from them. I just want to take a moment, because of your generosity, I want you to hear from families that are right here in Clay County. A lady named Sydney said this, I just want to make sure that I thank you, RCC, so much for the Thanksgiving blessing bag you delivered this morning. My family and I appreciate you so much. Thank you for spreading the love and for your generosity. A lady named Rosalind said this, I just want to give a big thank you to RCC for the blessing received this Saturday. We're truly grateful and blessed for your generosity. I didn't know what we were going to do or what we're going to have for Thanksgiving. And now we can enjoy and celebrate the holiday, all thanks to RCC. A lady named Stephanie said this, thank you very much. I just picked up my bag. I greatly appreciate you. Miranda said this, we just received our generous basket, and I wanted to reach out and say thank you. You guys have truly made our Thanksgiving special. We will be visiting soon. I can't wait to have her and her family. And then Sydney said this, she said, thank you so much. Without this, we could not afford to buy a Thanksgiving dinner. Can we give God the praise for what he did through our church and blessing people this Thanksgiving? I mean, just amazing. And you know, one thing that we're really passionate here at RCC is being missionaries. And the first group of missionaries we want to be to is to our children. To our children at home and the children that come to our church. We want them to hear about the amazing message and gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when I see kids and I see it, that number grow, I can't tell you how on fire that just sets me on. It's like nothing else rejuvenates me than seeing all these kids coming here about Jesus. Last year this time, we had 240 kids who came every single week. This year, we have on average 310 kids that come each and every week. And I think that is just phenomenal. I think about RCC continues to grow with our attendance, and you know, one thing about attendance, you don't know about this, but many churches, even right here in Clay County, have not got back to their numbers they were before COVID. And RCC met that number and surpassed it in 2021. Well, we keep growing. 2022, we had 1,200 here that met every single week. Now, on every single week, we have on average 1,450 people who come and hear about Jesus. And then this is the one that really fires me up. 2 years ago, we passed 100 people getting baptized, and that was just amazing. I never dreamed I'd be part of a church that would have 100 people get baptized in a year. I mean, maybe just in my lifetime, but not in a year. Last year, we had 107. Well, guess what? So far this year, we've had 214 people get baptized into Jesus Christ. And more coming. We have baptism next service. We got two or three more happening this afternoon. It is just amazing. RCC has been around, as you heard Tim talk about earlier, been around 8 years. Like, hey, guys, we're in second grade. Okay, think about that. We're only second graders. And can you imagine what God's going to do over the next 8 years? We can finally drive a car. I mean, think about what God's going to do over the next 8 years. I mean, I can't wait to see all the people who are going to be in heaven because of what you are doing and what you're going to do for God. Now, this church is preparing to take our biggest steps of faith in the future, in the years ahead, because every week you keep bringing more people who bring three things with them. That is babies, Buicks, and Bottoms, okay? And we got to make room for those babies and Buicks and Bottoms. Supernatural things are happening here. And this is what happened in Acts chapter 2. And it means so much to me because I was reading Acts 2 one time, and I thought, man, could I be a part of a church like that? Because we look at churches like, you know, everybody's kind of waving the white flag in America. Churches aren't growing. I'm like, well, God's still the same God. And God can still grow a church in any country, in any civilization, in any culture. And in Acts chapter 2, these people passionately pursue God, and they built community, and they unleashed disciples, one life, one family, one home, one community at a time. And because of this, we want to remind ourselves of our mission statement here at RCC. It comes out of Matthew chapter 28 and also Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And here's our mission statement at RCC. At RCC, our mission is to win people to Christ, is to train believers to become disciples, and unleash disciples to impact the world. And we kind of summarize that in six words. Here it is. We want to win people, train believers, unleash disciples. All right, I want you to say it loud and proud with me on the count of three. Say those six words. One, two, three. Win people, train believers, unleash disciples. One more time. Win people, train believers, unleash disciples. Now, when our kids were younger, we lived in Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, every now and then we'd have to escape the heat. People in Florida always say this. They're like, well, at least that's a dry heat. I'm like, so is a blowtorch, okay? I mean, so we had to get out of there. So we would head up to the mountains every summer just to get a break. And we'd load up the kids, our three kids, and a dog and a minivan, and take a trip up to the White Mountains or whatever. And many people are watching, actually people are watching right now online in Tucson and Phoenix and in Flagstaff, which is a lot colder than Phoenix. So, but anyway, we go up there to get a break. And I discovered, like many of you with children, there's one question that will inevitably be asked, and they'll ask it soon, they'll ask it often, even though you warn them never to ask that question their entire life. And the question is what? What's the question? Are we there yet? And there's a law that the longer the trip, like the sooner and more often that question gets asked. And so sometimes they put in a tune, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Like a pagan chant. And then I say, shut your mouth, you know. And if the answer is not anytime soon, that's not a good response, because pretty soon one of them starts complaining about getting punched or getting tickled or being psychologically harassed. And now imagine, like, you ask that question, you know, in your own life, like, are we there yet, God? Are we there yet? And God says, well, when are we going to get there? Well, not today, not tomorrow. We may not get there in our lifetime. As followers of Jesus, the scriptures could not be more clear. We are not there yet. Well, how do I know that? Look at the verse. It says this, and Apostle Paul says this in Philippians, the church in Philippi. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, RCC, will continue his work until it is what? It is finally finished. On that day when what? Say it with me. When Christ Jesus returns. The work that God began in you is unfinished. The work that God began in RCC is unfinished. Well, how do I know that? Because it says that it won't be finished until the day that Christ Jesus returns. And so when we tell people that we're unfinished, I imagine many of them, especially saying to me, Yeah, I can see God has his hands full with you, right? And that's true of all of us. God is unfinished with each and every one of us. Today, I want to talk to you about a guy named Abraham, who is an unfinished person that God used significantly in writing his unfinished story. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start right there in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12. And it begins, it appears that Abraham's life is finished. He's 75 years old, and he hasn't really done much, anything significant with his life. And we first meet him, he's called Abram, and then God changes his name later on to Abraham. And Abram literally means daddy, it means father, okay? And ironically, what's so weird about it is that he's 75 years old and he doesn't have a single kid. And yet his name means father. And then later on, his name changes to Abraham, which means father of many. Another way of saying it is this: Abram means daddy, Abraham means big daddy, okay? And so he's childless and he's living in what today is known as Iraq. Sarai, his wife, his name later is going to be changed to Sarah. Here's what happens. The Lord comes to him and says, Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. God says, leave everything you know, leave your culture, leave your people, and I'm going to show you a new place. And we're sitting there going, well, that doesn't sound too terrific. Well, that is earth-shattering back in this day. We don't realize how huge this is because we are a mobile society. For instance, how many of you were not born in Northeast Florida? Raise your hand if you were not born in Northeast Florida, all right, which is a vast majority of us. It's like the last Mohicans, those people who actually were born here and raised here. We don't see a lot of those. We're a mobile society. I heard about Americans who are visiting a tropical island. They had a tour guide. They were visiting the island, checking it out, and checking out the entire island. So this guide is taking them on a tour. This guide had never, ever left the island. Never left the island. And he's showing them around. They see this huge volcano. It's spewing lava and fire and smoke. And the American says, man, that looks like hell. And the guide says to the Americans, he says, man, you Americans have been everywhere, haven't you? So and travel like we do is unheard of in Abraham's time. You were born, you lived, you died, you were buried in the same place. So the Lord says, Abraham, go from all that you've known to the land I will show you. And look what happens next. God says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will what? I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a what? Blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be what, church? Say it with me. They will be what? Blessed through you, Abraham. There's one word that keeps occurring again and again in those two verses, and that word is what? Blessed or blessing, right? See, God taps 75-year-old Abraham on the shoulder and says, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing. And God makes three promises, Abraham. One is you're going to get land, and then I'm going to make you into a nation, and then all the peoples of the world are going to be blessed through you. Remember, he's 75 years old. His wife is in her 60s, and they don't have any kids. He reminds Abraham of this promise multiple times. Like, for instance, in Genesis chapter 26, it says, I will make you, Abraham, your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give them all these lands, and through your offsprings, look at this, what? All nations on earth will be blessed. God says to Abraham, you're unfinished. Your family, Abraham, I know you think you're finished, but your family is unfinished. Look at the stars. How many descendants? That tells you how many descendants you're going to have. I'm going to give you land. And all the nations of the world will be what? They will be blessed through you. Now, when they heard this, when Sarah finally finds out she's pregnant, she laughs. Remember that story? I don't know if you remember that story. She finds out she's 90 years old at this time, and her husband is 100. And when God says you're going to have a kid, she laughs. Wouldn't you laugh? I mean, I would laugh. She laughed about being the first childbirth in history, born in the geriatric ward of the hospital. I mean, think about that. She laughed at the thought of getting a kid's meal and a senior discount at the same restaurant. I mean, she laughed at the thought of going to Costco to buy diapers and Depends on the same trip. But guess what? God wasn't finished with her. And he wasn't finished with her husband. And he's not finished with you. Now, family, let me give you a cheat sheet on the entire Bible. You want to know how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together? If you want to know how the Jewish people relate to us Christians, if you want to know how it's possible that you and I are blessed with having our sins forgiven by Jesus and have a new relationship with God, you want to know all that? Well, it's right here. God promises Abraham three things: land, nation, blessing for all peoples on the earth. Now, Abraham's story is unfinished. He has no idea, like you, how your life's going to unfold. Well, I'll go ahead and give you a spoiler alert on Abraham's life. Land that he inherited, land that God gave him, is land called Canaan. And it's basically the land of Israel today. And then the nation that God's going to create out of Abraham is called Israel. And all the blessings for all the people on the earth are going to come through one of Abraham's descendants. So let's make a long story short. That descendant would be who? Jesus. Jesus is going to bless the entire world, who is our Messiah, who came to save us from all of our sins. People like you, people like me. So we declare here at RCC that this church is for everyone. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, when God says to Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The book of Revelation says that the people of God will be made up of every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. You see, God wants to bless Abraham, not just for Abraham's sake, so that through him, God would bless everyone. In a world that's totally misunderstood the identity of Jesus as the only Son of God, in a world that's so cynical about churches that seem to be more gathered or are concerned about gathering in holy huddles than they are about reaching out to the lost in their communities, I dream of a church. I dream of a church that is reaching out to our unchurched neighbors. I dream of a church where the broken, the beaten, and the traumatized can find healing. I dream of a church where the skeptic, the agnostic, the atheist, the person who has fears about God can come just as they are and discover for the very first time that they really matter to God. I dream of a church that is a spiritual trauma center where alcoholics and addicts and people confused or wounded sexually or victims of violence and abuse can find healing and recovering because of the unrelenting love of God. I dream of a church that has a heart for the teenage girl who's cutting and the teenage boy who's battling depression. That they would come and discover that God has hope for their life and he can use them in a powerful way in this world. I dream of a church that's building life groups all over our community, in neighborhoods and in schools and in offices and in dorm rooms and in restaurants, calling one another to uncompromising faith. I dream of a church with incredibly organized, compassionate ministries to the poor and to the marginalized in our communities, to the forgotten nursing home residents, to the homeless, to the foster child, a church giving the presence in homes and of home in jails and prisons. I dream of a church that's sending thousands of people all over the globe, doctors, nurses, carpenters, teachers, with a cup of cold water in one hand and the gospel of Jesus in the other hand. I dream of a church that is leading the way and breaking down racial walls that divide, and that we would come together as black and white and Asian and Latino and Native American and even Houston Texan fans and normal people and celebrate our oneness and unity in the blood of Jesus, and all the people will be blessed through us. I dream of a church like that. How about you, RCC? This is the crazy dream that this leadership has devoted ourselves to and our future to. And I got to believe there's a whole bunch of other unfinished people in this church who say, count me in on a dream like that. Now, Abraham's response presents each of us a couple of questions that we need to wrestle with this Thanksgiving. We want to be thankful. We also realize we're unfinished. And here's the first question. Am I really following God? And that question is basically, who's in charge of my life? Is it me or is it God? John Calvin once summarized God's call to Abraham. He said, what God was really saying to Abraham was, just close your eyes and grab my hand. I love that. Are you willing to close your eyes and take the hand of God? And some of you are going, well, I don't know. Where is that going to lead? Where is that going to take me? How much is it going to cost me? Well, listen, if you're going to follow God, there's going to come a moment where, like Abraham, you're going to say, I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm just going to take the hand of God. And if I hadn't done that, I know I wouldn't be here at RCC. You know, in preparing for this message, I saw something I had never seen before. In Genesis chapter 11, it is with Abraham leaving with his family, their home, and traveling towards Canaan under the leadership of Abraham's father, Terah. And I want you to notice the text. Look what it says. Together, they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Guess what? They're only halfway. Reminds me of John Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. Only halfway there. They're only halfway, but they gave up and they settled there. Their journey is unfinished. Like, their story is unfinished, but they're settling halfway. You know, sometimes I think we do the same thing with God. We get settled spiritually, and we'll just be like this, you know. We won't say this to God, but we kind of say it with our actions. We kind of say, God, this is as far as I'm going to go. This is it. I received Jesus and all that, but I'm not going any further. And God's like, you're not even at the promised land. And then we start rationalizing things, right? We start going, well, I'm more faithful than my parents. I'm more faithful than my friends. I trust you more than people in my life group. But God's going, what is your journey? Are you really going to follow me? God is not looking for weekend warriors. He wants us all to go in completely with total abandon and commitment. And when we accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord, which 214 people have done this year so far, what are we saying? I surrender all. Not just an hour a week. Not just, you know, part of my day. I surrender all my week to you, God. And I love hearing how pumped up you are about our church family. I mean, that encourages me. But also, I know how easy it is to sit on the sidelines, because I've done that in my life. We're saying, wow, RCC, you're doing an amazing job of reaching the next generation in the kids ministry, 5-6 ministry, junior high ministry, student ministry in high school. You're doing amazing, God. It's incredible how RCC is involved in the local community. Way to go. Man, the worship here is so uplifting and so renewing. Keep it up, RCC. People are finding healing from their hurts and their habits and their hang-ups. Man, that's terrific. But honestly, God is not going to reward people for getting excited in a mission. He's going to reward people for getting engaged in the mission. So don't settle for where you are halfway in your faith journey. Ultimately, Abraham didn't settle. Look what it says next. So Abraham did what? Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He didn't settle there. Even at 75. And I know many people are going, I'm just too old to take any more steps for God. I'm too used and abused, and I've done too many stupid things in my life, and I'm not gifted enough, and I don't know enough, and I'm depressed too much. You start giving all these excuses. Let me tell you right now, God's saying to you through Abraham, you're not unfinished. It reminds me of a guy named Perriman who mentored my grandfather. Now think about that. This guy mentored my grandfather. Years later, I show up in a place called Jacksonville, Florida, and this guy mentors me. And it's so fascinating. Like, how does that happen? Well, my family's from Alabama. We don't live long, so we have babies really early, okay? So we were just like, we got to get going. So my grandfather was 36 years old when I was born. So if you're 36-year-olds, don't have a grandchild, you're obviously not from Alabama, okay? So anyway, this guy mentored my grandfather, and then years later, he's mentoring me here in this community. Well, I preach one Sunday. I'm a student pastor at a church, and all of a sudden, I get a call from Perriman, who's 90 years old, okay, been walking with the Lord for quite some time. He calls me up, and he says, Nathan, I just want you to know that was an amazing sermon, and I want you to know I learned a few things today from you about the Bible. I'm like, 90-year-old man learning from a snotty-nosed kid like me? And that taught me something. Perriman is unfinished. We're all unfinished. Which leads to the next question. What blessings am I holding on to so tightly that it prevents God's unfinished work in me? Remember how the word bless or blessing is used multiple times in our passage. I want us to look at that one more time. Look what God says. He says, Abram, I will bless you, and you will, say it with me, you will what? Be a blessing. It's been so apparent that God has blessed our church over the last 8 years. And I think we need to ask the question, what does God intend for us to do with the blessings he's given us? And also as individuals, what does God intend to do with me, for me, and through me with the blessings he's given me? God doesn't just bless you with resources and money for you just enjoy the blessings, say hashtag bless. No, he blesses you so you can be a what? Blessing. In fact, God blesses us so he can pour it through us. You have the air in your lungs right now to be a blessing. That's why you're breathing right now. That's why you have the resources you have. That's why you have the energy you have. That's why you have the talent you have. It's not for your glory or your blessing. It's more for you to pass on the blessing. So some of you are thinking, well, Nathan, I'm really struggling financially these days. And I know some of you are. Listen, God doesn't ask you to give what you don't have. But at the same time, he won't use what you don't give. He can't multiply what you don't give. And all we have, by the way, belongs to God. Everything about me, everything about you belongs to God. We're just managers of his blessings. No matter who you are, God has put blessing in your life that he intends for you to multiply, and it only happens when you give it. Like the woman that Jesus calls out the temple, and she is giving these two little coins, the copper coins, it's valued at less than 2 cents. That's all she had. And she comes before God and says, God, you blessed me with this. Now could you make me a blessing? What blessings are you holding on to so tightly that prevents God's unfinished work in you? Or you can come just like Abraham and say, you just come open-handed and he'll use you beyond your wildest dreams like he's used this church. Think about the last 8 years. People, 8 years ago, right now, RCC was in a cemetery. That's kind of creepy, okay? I mean, that's kind of creepy. But 8 years ago, think about that. There was no Celebrate Recovery ministry. There was no Grief Share ministry. There was no divorce care. There was no Food and Friends. There was no dance studio that we moved into later. There was no school that we had to meet because our dance studio flooded. There was definitely no 10-acre campus with a 40,000 square foot facility. There was no four services. But listen, there was a group of unfinished people with an unfinished faith who let go of some of their blessings, and look what God has done. Can we give God the praise for their faith? Their faith fuels us. And today, I'm glad there are guests here so you can get a hold of our vision and the passion that we have for Jesus. And because of that, the passion we have for all people. And I'm praying that for all of us that will realize that there's another step of spiritual growth that we need to take. So here's the last question. Where do you need to take your next step in spiritual growth? Let's end this year strong. Don't be coasting in this year. Let's end this year strong. What's your next step of spiritual growth? If you approach the season of our church with a posture of, Nathan, you know, I've already got this. I'm done. I'm good. Then you're declaring you're finished. But the reality is we don't do that with any area of our life. There was a time when Abraham thought he was finished. Maybe you feel like that right now. With what appeared to be God's plan for his life and his family. But even at 75 years old, guess what? Abraham wasn't there yet. He wasn't there yet. And I think God is saying the same thing to you and to me as we're on this journey with him. We're not there yet either. And I pray that you will have the faith. I pray that you will have the humility. I pray that you will have the spiritual vulnerability to open yourself up to God and say, God, I'm an unfinished follower of Jesus with an unfinished faith. And I'm asking you, God, to have your way with me. I don't care if you're 17. I don't care if you're 75 years old. We're all still unfinished. Amen. Will you stand with me? I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I want to ask you a question right now. Why do we keep growing? Why do I need to look at that next step of spiritual growth? Why do I need to keep growing? Well, Abraham went on a faith journey and he faltered at times, but Jesus would come one day and he would do his journey with God without fault. Abraham left his father's house and his homeland we're about to celebrate this Christmas, Jesus left his Father's home in heaven. And when you understand that the one who is calling you to follow him is the one who left everything for you, you'll have the courage to leave it all for him. See, Jesus' sacrifice for you becomes your motivation to sacrifice for him. So, Father, we come before you and thank you for pouring out so much blessing on this church in the year 2023. And God, you've been so good to us. And the best thing we can say to you is thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the blessing that you poured out in our lives. Lord, that we all, that all these blessings, that there's a responsibility not to be just receivers, but to be a blessing. And as we continue to journey with each other and with you, may you use our unfinished faith. So God, we declare with great faith that the greatest days of RCC are still ahead of us. We can have that kind of faith because of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. The whole church said, amen. We're a praying church and we want to pray for you. Maybe you have something you want to be thankful for. Our prayer team is up here. Come and share it. Maybe there's a burden on your heart right now and you need someone to pray for you. Please come. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus Christ like hundreds have done so far here at RCC this year. Maybe you have a joy you want to share. You just want time by yourself. Come up here and pray in the stairs. You guys online, hit the request prayer button. We'd love to pray for you as well. But right now, can we just give God the praise, all that he's done, all that he's doing, all that he's going to do through us together at RCC. Please come right now as we worship the one who fights our battles for us. Please come.